Hope everybody's being good.
Yeah, they are being good.
Hello and welcome to Corgitown, USA. I am Candy. In my lap is Chuckles, our spokescorg.
Hi, everyone. I'm Catherine. My son is right here next to me, and that would be Digby.
Digby the doof.
Yeah. Digby, our bodyguard corg, I think.
He's the bodyguard and Chuckles is head of security.
Yep.
Apparently. Well, thank you for keeping tuning in with us. As you know, we're in the beginnings of season 5 here. And we are so glad that you've been sticking with us. If you stay tuned, we've had a little bit longer of a break than normal. We might be about to lose equipment because Mortimer and Digby are frapping. If you are sticking with us, we're losing our camera angles, then you know that this is a normal occurrence. We will be right back. We will rebuild. However, thank you for waiting for us. We typically don't take as long of a break, but there were the holidays in between.
Yes.
But we also had to say goodbye to Hammer.
Hammer and, yeah.
Yeah, that was my DM Corgi, and we'd been on that journey for a little over, well, about 2 years.
Yeah.
And we had to say goodbye, so we took some time to grieve, to heal our hearts. But we do have, of course, Chuckles and Digby. We also have Mortimer, Barnabas, and Booger in studio as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for sticking with us, and we are getting back into our creator series.
We are.
Yeah.
And we met a lovely creator at Corgi Beach Day. And
Mecca of all corgi things. Should we bring her on?
We should.
Okay. Please welcome everyone, CB Wilson. She is the award-winning author
yes.
of 8 Pet Cozy Mysteries. Welcome to our show.
Well, good morning and thank you for having me.
Good morning.
Thank you. We're so excited to have you, and we have creator series where we talk to authors on people like yourself who create pet-centric, corgi-centric art, including writing books, movies, different kinds of mediums of art. So we're very thrilled to have you here and talk about your art and talk about your writing.
Yes.
So we want to ask you kind of tell us a little bit first about this, about your series, about your books.
Well, they are cozy mysteries that take place in a small beach town. It's called Barkview, California, where designated leash lanes lead to hound playgrounds. And here, everyone owns a dog except for the heroine of the book, whose name happens to be Cat, and she is a cat lover.
That's me.
That is you.
That is definitely me. I got 2 dogs and 2 cats, and I have always had cats, and recently got a dog again after 30 something years.
You're a cat person living in a dog world now.
I am.
My goodness. Well, Dylan, you can certainly relate to the heroine of the book. And the series itself is actually a trip for Cat. It's a journey for her to see if there is a right dog for her. So it does feature different breeds in each book.
Yes.
And the series is trying to point out the traits of each breed to help people make the right choice of what dog actually fits with them.
Oh, that is wonderful. We preach that all the time. And I know that over the holidays, I purchased the Shepherded book from CB for my stepmother-in-law. I've never had steps before, so, and she loves German Shepherds, so that's who I purchased the book for.
Well, we love what you're doing. We tell people all the time, we're here for pets and their people. That's all pets. We just happen to be corgi-centric. That's what I know best, and we say all the time that corgis aren't necessarily right for everyone, and we want people to listen to us so that we can help guide them. So we love that you're doing that.
Well, I am so happy that you have the same feeling. I was inspired to write the series because my mother, who is basically a couch potato, got a Jack Russell Terrier.
Oh, my.
I no need to say more. It was a disaster. We ended up with the dog. We had him for 14 years, and it was a long 14 years. She would have been so much happier with a white fluffy dog that sat on her lap.
Yes.
But it was all about not doing her homework prior to getting the dog. And I felt that it was my call to action to write the series. I've always enjoyed dogs. I've loved them. That really showed me that there is a right dog for everybody. And as long as you kind of look, you've got a really good chance of getting that wonderful relationship that happens between the person and the right dog.
Yeah,
absolutely.
100%. Yeah. Thank you for that. So your mother got this Jack Russell, and she was,
for those who don't know,
and your mother is not as Cap. I can't get up to that octave, but not bouncing off the walls is what we'll call it.
Yes.
Jack Russells do. And so that inspires you. What kind of keeps you going? Like, what inspires you to keep writing these as you, there's so many breeds out there. You have a lot to write about.
Yep.
It is truly dog owners. I love interacting with them and hearing your stories, hearing what you love about what adventures you've been on, what you love about your dog. And a great story. I was at an airport some time ago before I wrote Ozzy to death. And I was sitting in the airport lounge, minding my own business. And this mini Ozzy comes running across the entire building, jumps in my arms. Now, I'm on my way to a meeting and I'm wearing black. Not the best thing to happen at that point.
No.
I came out of it looking more like an Aussie than I did a business person. But at the end of the day, it inspired the book that has done quite well. It was really fun to meet the dog and the owner and talk about their adventures traveling together.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
At an airport, no less.
No, surprisingly, yes.
I used to travel with Booger quite a bit.
Yes.
And she's retired from her traveling days now, but well, not traveling, but at least traveling by air. But I think she had more frequent flyer miles than a lot of people did. And
that's not a bad thing.
Hey, she loved it. She was small enough to fit under the seat. So she would just go in her little bag and go in. She's only 16 pounds. She's small for a corgi. But people loved her at the airport. And I swear she thought she owned the airport. She would walk through there just, hi, everybody. You want to come pet me? Yeah, that's why I'm here. Like, she thought she was a celebrity walking the red carpet.
But she was.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Of course.
She's a corgi.
Yes.
There's that.
There is that. But yeah, she absolutely loved it. But I think about this mini Aussie jumping in your arms and I'm going, oh my goodness. I can't imagine if they would have gotten loose. I don't know that I could ever catch my corgi. It's so fast.
Yeah.
Loose in an airport. They would be running away finding a new family.
No, they love you.
And it was interesting. I didn't have treats. I don't know why the dog chose me, except the dog, I guess the dog knew he wanted to be star in a book. And he did.
Yeah.
He got his book.
He got his book.
It was Kismet, and probably a testament to your character, because dogs are excellent judges of character.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I want to talk about, let's talk a little bit about you have hobbies, and pickleball is one of those. And it sounds like maybe you get a little bit of inspiration from your hobby. Can you go into that a little bit more for us?
Oh, pickleball is just a fun time for me to try to relax. So as I'm playing a game, unfortunately, as you get deeper into the game and for whatever reason, your focus drifts away, I will likely be standing out there thinking about how I'm going to murder my next character. Generally, that's a good thing because I'll win the next point.
Wow. Okay. You have a method.
Yeah.
It's funny. People ask me all the time, when you're writing, when does inspiration come to you? In the craziest places. It really does. Sometimes it's on the pickleball court. My husband and I are avid divers, scuba divers, and we travel around the world diving. And you'll see a lot of that in my books. I try to bring things that I know and love into the stories and just to enrich them so people can learn something as well. I was a graduate of the GIA, which is the Gemology Institute of America in Carlsbad. Mm-hmm. And I can assure you that the majority of my books do have some sort of gemstone in it.
Oh, how fun. It's almost like an Easter egg.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a corgi to death, which was a book, I believe it was book six for me, ended up being a story. There was three in a row. So it started with shepherded to death. This, the second book was doodled to death. And then the finish of the series of hunting for a lost diamond was corgi to death. And it was a lot of fun. The readers loved it. Just kind of following along, trying, are they ever going to find this diamond?
Oh my, I love that. So yeah. So tell me, how did you, Kat met you at Corgi Beach Day. And correct. So you picked different breeds. So how do you pick your breeds, and how did you get to the corgi, since this is a corgi centric podcast?
Well, inspiration is a funny thing. A good friend of mine owns two corgis. And I always knew I was going to write a book about corgis because I just enjoy them so much. They're such great characters. And but I hadn't have the right story for them. And as I was, the corgi book has a World War II, California Coast World War II kind of little side plot in it. Oh. And it just worked perfectly for Winston, the corgi, with a little bit of a British hint to it, a little bit of a history hint to it, and it just fit his personality. And it was fun to write a story where the dog's traits became what solved the mystery. So some of the things he likes to do was help them find the diamond in the end.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I can see. I can see them herding all the diamonds in the mine, trying to herd them together and get them to leave them.
Like their sheep. Like their sheep.
Well, he did a very good job herding the heroine into the right place.
Good job, Winston.
Good job.
Frapping in the studio.
There is a lot of running around going on in the studio.
Yeah. This is pretty common on the show. We have, it's typically Digby and Mortimer.
Yes.
They like to frap and run around and hurt each other around the studio. So when you see our camera shaking back and forth, sometimes we'll lose a channel on audio and then one of us will just be talking and you won't hear it. You know, whatever the things are, that's a common occurrence here. So we just turn around and we come right back. So
that's part of the corgi life.
Corgi Town, USA, where the corgis run the town.
That's right.
Boy, I'm telling you, there's inspiration for writing coming.
I'm glad we could inspire you. Yeah. I feel like with our chaos, there's lots of opportunity to for inspiration. Inspired by chaos.
Inspired by chaos. Oh, that's a book title. Inspired by chaos. Anyway.
That's a great thing. Yeah, one of my next book coming out is going to be Labradored to Death, which is about a bat dog.
A bat dog?
Yes. This is one of the dogs in the minor league in baseball that fetches the bats after the hitters hit the ball.
Okay.
Is this a real thing?
It's a real thing.
I didn't know about this.
I met this dog purely by chance through a friend of a friend. And his name is Ripken, and he's the bat dog for the Durham Bulls.
Oh my God.
An amazing dog, and the things that he does. I've been so inspired by it and learning a whole lot about baseball at the same time, which is something I'd never really known about. Sure, I mean, you go to the game, especially living in Arizona, since right. We have so much preseason here, but wow, it's been quite amazing, and it's become the very complex plot. So it's fun. It's been a fun book to write.
And I learned something today. I didn't know that was a thing.
There's a bat dog.
I love that there's a bat dog.
There's actually 11 of them in the minor leagues. And I'm thinking spinoff series called Dugout Dogs.
I love it.
I love it.
We need to talk to the trainers that handle these.
The bat dogs.
Yeah. See if we can get them on the show. Yeah,
all right. Thank you for that. Now you've inspired us.
Yes. Lots of inspiration here.
I'm surprised what the training that they need. I mean, if you think about it, they're in a live stadium. There's so many distractions. Mm-hmm. And the dogs need to work properly, just accurately. I mean, they have to have a certain personality because they are fan favorites.
Of course.
It was at a Durham Bulls game. It was the last game of the season. Watching Ripken run out to get a bat. The hitter hits the ball. It was probably a double. People cheered. The dog goes out. The entire stadium stands up.
Wow!
For the goodest boy.
For the goodness of
boy, yeah. I think if I was a player, I'd have a complex.
Oh, great. Overshadowed by Ripken again.
Well, what do they say about actors? Never act with children or dogs. They will upstage you every time.
Scene stealers.
Scene stealers, exactly.
And I'm telling you, I saw that loud and clear in the baseball stadium.
That's amazing.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, we were going to talk about, you wanted to talk about the relationship between owners and these pets and how it inspires you.
Yes. Truly that is where my inspiration comes from, is meeting with people or just meeting them even in unusual places and seeing how well they connect with their dog. A good friend of mine has a dachshund, actually three dachshunds. And my latest book was Dachshund to Death, based on her family's relationship with their dachshunds. And it was truly inspiring to me to see how a dog that to me isn't really, it's not really a dog in terms of size. I mean, if you think about it, it's a short, it's a very different dog.
We won't tell the Doxy fans that listen to
please
us.
Please don't. No, I have to tell you, I love the dog. I mean, they were a lot of fun to be around and they have real interesting personality quirks as well.
Yeah, for sure they do. My granny has them. They're Spitfires. Oh, like the Corgis are, for sure.
No doubt they are.
Yeah, 100%.
Are they like all little Napoleon complexes if they have short legs?
I don't know, maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, we'd have to ask a doxy parent.
Yeah.
To give us more about that.
But, see, and there's inspiration as well for you.
Yeah, definitely. Well, well, we can speak on corgis being corgi parents. And one thing that's very interesting to me, I mean, we have interest groups as humans, things that unite us and things that bring us together for common interests. And being corgi parents is one of those interests. However, I will say that it's a very strong community of corgi lovers together. We've been very well connected, and it's a very much, what is that, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees of separation. but I mean, it's very much the 6 degrees of separation, because many times we'll come across people either at the corgi events or elsewhere that say, oh, do you know such and such? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. And we happen to know the corgis. We happen to know their corgis, be it through social media or because we've met at a meetup or whatever the case is. And so we've found that we're a very special breed of people, just like the corgis are a very special breed of dog. We're very passionate. We're very involved. And I have yet to meet a corgi parent that's like, yeah, their dog, they're cool. No, they're like, my corgi is my world.
Yeah.
Everything else comes second. And that's how we all are. And we appreciate that. 'Cause we're like, oh, you get it too? Wonderful. And we've had several people on the show that before they got a corgi, they said, you know, I've had other dogs, but my goodness, this bond I have with my corgi is something special. And we're like, yeah, we get it.
Very true.
I so agree. And that, I think, is what I really try to convey in the books, is that relationship that you're talking about, where it's special and it's so meaningful to both that it's worth looking for, and it's worth taking the time to do it right.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. 100%. And that's another thing that we try to do here with that is our shelters, rescues, they're full. We have several friends in rescue that come on the show and we talk about what the challenges are they're facing at the time. And with things like social media and how we are connected, the corgi breed has become very, very popular. My first corgi, Lilo, when I had him, I would take him places. They say, that's a really cool dog. What kind of dog is that? And you would say a corgi, and they would say a what? I'd have to explain to them, you know, England, the Queen's dogs. Now everybody's gas corgi craze, and we have what we call the paparazzi.
Yes.
You can't go anywhere with corgi. Yeah. Without people saying, oh my gosh, corgis. And it's so funny when new people come into my life and they travel with us and they say, you can't go anywhere. I say, oh, I know. We call it the paparazzi, and we love it.
I have to tell you, when I went to Corgi Beach Days, it was my first time where we met. I was absolutely amazed on the energy
The fandom.
Exactly. Yeah. At the event, it was fantastic. I walked away from that going, wow. It was pretty amazing. So I appreciate what you're saying.
You said people love their dogs, but these people love their dogs.
Yes, very much. Do.
Well, you are, and I'm curious about this since you write about all different kinds of dogs and meet the parents of different types of dogs and what their personalities are. Are there any other crazed groups out there? Like
Goldens are pretty popular. Goldens are kind of an enthusiast group, I think. There are a few.
I think every breed has their passionate lovers of the animals.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think there's anyone who says, oh, I have a, no. the dachshund lovers, very passionate as well. There was no question about that as I got more involved into it. And when I wrote the Golden Doodle book, which, by the way, was my award-winning book that has won 4 gold medals now.
Congratulations.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank you. There's really a very strong family of people who just love their dogs. It's amazing.
Yeah. It warms my heart. It makes life worth living.
It does. It definitely does.
But we talk about the shelters and the rescues being full. And part of that is this very thing, which you were discussing about maybe people not being prepared, what all it takes, not only to take on a dog, but maybe the type of breed and their lifestyle and their homes. And I tell everyone who loves corgis that might be an enthusiast that doesn't have them, your life is going to change. This isn't just, oh, they're cute and I get to take them places. No, this is a toddler. Corgis need a lot of attention. They need a lot of interaction. They need a lot of stimulation. They're not background dogs. They need a leader. So you'll need to be a strong leader and guide them on how to be part of the family, but also engage them and interact with them often. They're not an afterthought. They can't be an afterthought dog. There are different breeds out there that are probably less high maintenance, I guess, if you want to call it that. Those are not for me. I have weapons grade ADHD. I need to be able to, I need the stimulation and interaction as well. So, but
that, Andy, I'm using that line in a book. That is so good.
Write it down quick.
I'm glad I could help, but it's a thing, you know, your personality. And what's remarkable to me is many of us who have these corgis are, it's very similar, but they're like, oh yeah, I speak that language well. Did we just change the subject 8 times? Yes. Thank you for following me on that. So it's true. It is true to the testament of personality and the type of breed dog you get. And corgis are toddlers for life. The entire time you have them, they're going to need supervision. They're going to need interaction, stimulation. They're going to keep you busy. If you want that, beautiful. Corgis are right for you. If you don't want that, then corgis aren't right for you. So I just want to earmark that and say that I'm very appreciative about you doing this through your artistic medium.
Right. And Jack Russell Terriers are not for you either.
If you're a couch potato. What would be a couch potato? Maybe Lasso, maybe.
What?
Or a Shih Tzu?
CB, in your opinion, what is more of a couch potato dog?
Yeah, I'm not sure any dog is.
Fair.
They all have their own quirks and their own the thing, and you know, it really needs to sit in your personality. I mean, I think if you're someone who doesn't leave the couch, you need a cat.
So cats are better if you're a couch potato because it's their world and we live in it.
We do live in it. Yeah. And they don't need walks, a litter box. You have to feed them.
Yeah. Feeding is important.
You have to feed them. Well, for all the pets, but cats will look at you if you don't feed them on time. You know, I know how to use my nails to get you to bleed out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, it's the truth. I have 2 of them. I've always had cats. They look at you weird.
So it's detrimental to your health and potentially your life if
exactly.
you don't remember to feed the
That's
cat.
That's right. That's right.
Well, all right. Yeah. The corgis will just yell at you if you are late, even a minute late.
That's true. That's
they won't let you forget.
I find that so fascinating that they have built-in alarm clocks.
They are, yeah. They will remind you. And if it's time for walkies, if it's whatever it is, they'll let you know. I have a friend, Jax, our corgi friend.
Yes.
If he's ready to go and you're visiting, he will actually grab his mother's shirt and pull her towards the door. I'm ready to go.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we're done. We're done.
He'll run to the door and bark. He'll give her a warning bark. Hey, it's time to go, Mom. And if she doesn't get up fast enough, he will come over and pull her shirt and say, let's go. It's time.
It's time. Yeah, they do. They do have their little built-in alarm clocks. So.
And they're the boss.
I love it. I love it. You were talking about different being prepared for a dog. A friend of mine just got a puppy, and this is my first puppy experience.
Excellent.
I have to tell you, I'm inspired. The next book will likely be, after Labrador, will likely be puppied to death. Oh. Because, ooh, boy, is that a commitment.
Yes. Yeah. And you forget, if you haven't had one in a while, my first corgi, I'd had rescues. I got him and then I'd had a couple rescues. So Chuckles was my first puppy in like 13 years. And I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot how much work they are.
They are quite a bit of work.
Yeah. Well, we're going to need to talk then as I'm doing research for Puppy to Death and get some more great stories to add to this.
Absolutely.
Happy to help. And Chuckles is always glad to be inspiration with his antics. And, you know, Mortimer was an easy puppy. And
he was.
Grew up to be my problem child.
He was. He was the quiet puppy that, yeah, that is a little bit of a problem child.
And Chuckles was just, I mean, an unholy terror, honestly. but he grew up to be wonderful. He's a wonderful boy. He was just so curious and so into everything all the time. You could not let your guard down this one.
Nope.
This is so sounding like inspiration to me.
Yeah, yeah. And Eric, my fiance, he had a lot of rescues, and his most recent dog that we said goodbye to in 2023. He had as a puppy as well, and that was an Australian cattle dog.
Oh, so
that's quite the.
That's a herder.
That's a herder as well.
Busy.
Keep him busy. Keep him busy. Keep him doing something.
Well, we don't want to keep you all night, CB. Thank you so much for your contribution. Will you please tell our audience where we can purchase your books and where to find you? And I'll also drop those links into the description box.
Excellent. My books are available on Amazon. So if you type in CB Wilson or Barkview Mysteries, they'll come up, or go directly to my website, which is www.cbwilsonauthor.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I will share those. And I want to live in Barkview.
I have so many people tell me that.
It sounds like my kind of place.
Barkview sounds fun.
Well, thank you so much. Again, we will share those links in the description box of both the audio platform as well as on YouTube. CB, thank you so much for joining us and telling us. We'll probably have you back on in the future and future seasons to talk about the new installments in the series.
That's right.
Would love to come back. I always like to talk Barkview, that's for sure, and help all of our rescues. So as we move forward, love to talk about some joint ventures on those types of things as well.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we love it. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are we moving to Barkview?
I think we're moving to Barkview.
Corgitown, USA,
it's
broadcasting
from
Barkview.
Wherever Jessica Fletcher's from, up in Maine, but it's in California, so it's on a beach and the weather's nice.
Jessica Fletcher.
Jessica Fletcher, Murder, She Wrote.
Okay. As I say, give us a reference, because that's...
That's that. Yeah.
Our younger listeners have no idea.
So that was Maine, and Maine can get very, very cold.
Oh,
well,
I don't know. I just like the idea of Barkview ran by dogs.
Town run by dogs. Oh, wait, that's Corgi Town.
That's Corgi Town, USA.
Say.
Well, if you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe. Thank you for sticking with us here in season 5. We are so grateful for you. We will see you next week. Candy, Cat, Chuckles, Digby, Mortimer, and Booger. Have a great evening.
Bye.